have your Bibles, I'm going to tell you to open to Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to ask Ray to put it up here on the side screen. And what I'd like us to do is that we read through this. I'd like us to stand for the reading of God's Word. And let's read it together in unison. And Ray will have it up there on the side screen for us. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. The boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying,
"Let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this powerful story out of your inspired and inerrant word. Lord, this is a story that in one way or another can intersect each one of our lives. And so, Father, I pray right now for the person going through a storm. I pray for the person who is challenged in their faith. I pray for the person who wants to come to you. Lord, may you use these words to encourage each one of our hearts. Father, I ask that the words of my mouth, and I pray that the meditation in each one of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen." You may be seated. I want to start out with a story, and I want to actually form a question. And I want to ask you, do you remember the first time you went off a high dive? Maybe you were a young child, but the first time you went off a high dive. Okay, yeah, I see those hands. And as you went out there, usually, I remember my first time, it was with a bunch of my friends, probably about four, five, six, right around in there. And it's kind of like the dare. You know, all the young boys were there saying, "Hey, I bet you're chicken you off the high dive." "I'm not chicken, you know. I'm going to go off that high dive." So you go over there and you start climbing up, and do you notice when you get up there, it looks a lot higher when you're up there than it did when you were down low. When you were down low, it looked like, okay, yeah, I think I can do that. But when you're up there, you're thinking, whoa, this is a lot higher. And you got all your friends down there, and they're yelling, "Come on, jump!" And you're there, dry mouth, sweaty palms, wondering, is there any way I can get off this high dive? And you look back at the ladder, and there's a whole bunch of people on the ladder saying, "Come on, kid, jump." And you're there, and for the first time in your life, you prayed for the rapture to come right then and there to get you up. You're trapped. And so you walk up there, you go to the end, I think that probably a double dog dare has enabled us to discover more abilities in our life than we ever thought possible. You jump.
purpose of this. What had just happened? It's the feeding of the 5,000. And I'm sure that was a momentous occasion in the life of the disciples. I mean, what a great ministry opportunity. And then all of a sudden, Jesus sends them away. Now, this verse really doesn't bring out the force of the verb. The verb that's used there is a word for a command, a strong command. Jesus urged them, he compelled them to go away. Sometimes God commands us to do things that we don't understand and that we don't necessarily agree with. And I think as we look in the parallel accounts of this passage, the reason why Jesus commanded them to go away, you don't need to turn there, but the key is given in John chapter 6, verse 15, where it says the people wanted to come and make him king. And the disciples were not at that maturity level yet to realize that this was not an earthly kingdom that Jesus was setting up right now. It was a spiritual kingdom. And Jesus did not want the disciples getting caught up in the frenzy of the crowd. So he sent the disciples away. And I'm sure the disciples were saying, well, we don't want to go yet. We want to stay with you. But Jesus had a purpose. He had a plan. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 23, after he had dismissed them, that is the people, he, Jesus, went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. Incredible lesson there. Anytime we have a great ministry for God, we need to get alone and pray. We need to give that ministry as a thank offering back to God. And Jesus is modeling this right here. He's up there communing with his heavenly Father. And notice the time reference that the writer gives us. When evening came, he was there alone. So what time did he dismiss these people? Now this is important. He probably dismissed them probably after dinner time. Right about 6 or 7, he had dismissed the people. And then evening came probably about 7, 8 o'clock at night time. So he's up there alone. Let's go to verse 24. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now we're going to see here in the following verses about what time this is. This is going to be the fourth watch of the night, which is about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's the fourth watch of the night. So the disciples probably cast off right after dinner, probably about 6 or 7, and time frame, we're going out to about 3 a.m. Now put yourself in the disciples' sandals. There they are. They've probably been rowing from about 6 o'clock. They are a considerable distance from land, and they're not across the lake yet. They have been rowing conservatively for about 6 or 7 hours. And you see that word buffeted by the waves? That word in other places in the New Testament is translated to be tortured. It's a very strong word. That the boat was being tortured. And in Mark, the parallel account, it says they were straining at the oars. Now, could you imagine the disciples out there? There they are. Jesus, we did what you asked us to do. And this is not fun. This is hard. This is really challenging. You know, you're going to find in life, when you obey Jesus, it's not always smooth sailing. I find that storms are inevitable. And sometimes we have storms of what I would call correction. Storms to get us back on the right path. And I think a classic example of that is Jonah. God gave Jonah a very clear command, a very clear responsibility. He said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach repentance. What did Jonah do? He went the other way. And so God got his attention big time. Sent a storm. They threw Jonah overboard. Got swallowed by a great fish. Was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Bible says the fish vomited Jonah up on the land. Can you imagine what Jonah must have looked like having been in the stomach of a fish for 3 days? He looked terrible. He was a mess. Can you imagine what he smelled like? It was even worse. And so here comes Jonah coming to Nineveh, repented. Well, of course, these people are going to convert right away. They see this apparition coming toward them. That's a storm of correction. But I don't think that's what's happening here. I think this is a storm of perfection. What God is doing is He is bringing them to a situation where they will need to depend upon Him, where their reliance will need to be upon God. And this, in the end result, will make them better, will make them stronger. James gets to this point in James chapter 1, starting at verse 2. He says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." And he goes on and says, "And let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So you see, what God wants to do is He wants to strengthen you. So here they are, they're buffeted by the wind. They don't understand it, but they did what God told them to do. Let's go to verse 25. "And Jesus comes to them." Again, fourth watch in the night, about 3 to 6 a.m. So it's dark, it's windy, and it's stormy. The disciples are tired, they're frustrated, and just when they didn't think it could get any worse, verse 26, "They saw Him walking on the lake." Again, it's nighttime, so they're terrified. They think, not only are we tired and frustrated out here, but here's a ghost. There's a demon out here. And they cried out in fear. Verse 27. "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" And you know, sometimes when we are in our lowest areas, that's right where God can meet us. Right where we need to be. I wonder, is there a situation in your foot? In your situation, in your life that you're facing, that has you somewhat scared, maybe a little fearful? And I think Jesus' words right here, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Interesting, this phrase right here, "take courage," used several times in the New Testament. Each time it's used in the imperative mode, that is, it's a command. And each time it's used only by Jesus. And so several times we see this construction. Take courage. And I believe what Jesus would say to us right now, regardless of what you're facing, take courage. You see, this same word is used over in John 16:33. Again, you don't need to turn there, but this is what it says. Jesus says, upper room discourse, He says, "In the world you will have tribulation. In the world, you will have storms in life, but take courage. I have overcome the world." And because He has overcome the world, we too shall overcome the world. And so we see that you need to follow Jesus in the everyday events in life, even when it doesn't make sense, because He'll be right there when you need Him. Let's go to verse 28. Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." I think this is a great transition. When we're in that storm of life, you need to come to Jesus. And that's what Peter is asking. "Lord, help me to come to you." And, you know, a lot of times we'll look at our own strength, we'll look at our own resources. But it's only when we realize that Jesus is all we have that we can understand that Jesus is all we need. And so He says, "Lord, ask me to come to you." And look at verse 29. "Come," He said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Simple word. "Peter, come. Now, I want you to think about Peter's situation. It's a dark and stormy night. The boat's being rocked up and down. Waves are there. They're not making much progress. What did that boat represent to the disciples? It was their safety. It was their security. It was their comfort zone. And Jesus says, come. Now, I find that fascinating. Peter got down out of the boat. He left his comfort zone. He walked over there. You know, comfort zones can be helpful. They can be a nice respite from our world. But there's a danger with comfort zones. The problem with a comfort zone is we don't grow. We stay the same. Many years ago, well, probably a decade or so ago, there was an experiment out in the desert of California, or Arizona it was, just outside of Phoenix. They had developed what they called a biosphere, Biosphere 2. And in it was a controlled environment, probably a couple acres, and they had a group of people. I can't imagine volunteering for something like that, but they had a group of people in there for about a year or so. Completely controlled environment. It's a big glass enclosure. In fact, if you Google it, you can see pictures of it. And the people were to exist on just what was in that biosphere. They had some plants and agriculture items like that. And it was part of a science experiment to see if we sent out teams to, like, distant planets, how they could survive in a hostile environment. So anyway, everything was fully controlled. And they were in this biosphere for about a year or so, I think it was. And they stopped the experiment, and you can take tours of it now. And there was a journalist taking a tour through the biosphere. And there were trees in there. And they noticed that each of the trees had a wire from the tree up to the top. It's like a big glass enclosure holding it. And the individual, the journalist, said, why are there wires holding these trees up? And she said, if we didn't have the wires, they would fall over. You see, this environment is so controlled, without any challenges, without any strong winds, that the trees did not develop strength. And so without adversity, the trees were weak. You know, when we think about our life, who of us wants adversity? None of us do. But without adversity, God knows we won't develop faith. And so sometimes God's going to give a storm of perfection to help us develop that. And so Peter leaves his comfort zone, leaves safety, and takes a step of faith. You know, I wonder, is there something God is asking you to take a step of faith on? How many of you are starting college? Going to college this coming? Okay? One. All right? Now, for some of you, that might be getting out of a comfort zone. For some people, it might be getting into a comfort zone, depending on which college you're going to and what their major is going to be. But for the most part, It's a new challenge. And all of us face challenges in life. And challenges are not bad. We need those challenges. Okay, let's go to verse 30. But when he, Peter, saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Save me. Just like the song that Dan led us in, you know? That you're there to rescue me. Now, why did Peter sink? He was walking on the water. He took his eyes off the Lord. And here's what we need to understand. There's going to be times when you leave your comfort zone, you step out in faith, and it's going to be scary. The way you know that you're out of a comfort zone is you're scared. And the way to stay afloat is to keep your eyes on Jesus. verse 31. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And notice what he said. You of little faith, why did you doubt? It's interesting. Jesus doesn't say, hey, great job, Peter, walking on the water. No, he says, you of little faith. Five times this you of little faith is used by Jesus. It's a mild rebuke. It's a challenge to keep our eyes on Jesus. You see that word doubt? The word doubt is fascinating. It's actually a compound word, and it means to stand in two places. It has the idea of uncertainty, of being in the middle of the road. What's the problem with being in the middle of the road? You're going to get hit if you stay there. There's a proverb. It says, if you try to chase two rabbits, you will catch neither one. See, we need to find out what God wants us to do. Step out in faith, and then do it. Verse 32. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Verse 33. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him. They worshipped Jesus, saying, what? You are the Son of God. Now, let me do a quick comparison. This is not the first time they were out in a storm. Back in Matthew chapter 8, you don't need to turn there. There was a storm. Jesus was asleep in the boat. They woke him up. Lord, don't you care? We're going to perish. Jesus calmed the wind and the storm. And do you remember what they said there, Matthew chapter 8? They said, look how their faith has come to the next level. Here, they're not asking, who is this? They're saying, you are the Son of God. And what I find fascinating about this is the focus is on Jesus. The deal isn't, hey, Peter, you walked on water. No. Much bigger than that is the God who enabled Peter to walk on water. So I want to ask you a question. What is God asking you to step out of the boat for? And what is it that is perhaps a little bit scary, but you sense God is calling you? And let me ask these questions. Where do you sense that you can really make a difference in this world? What is it in your life that will bring most glory to God? What do you want to be remembered? As we seek God, as we step out in faith, He will enable you to do incredible things. He will enable you to do things you can't even imagine. I'd like us to close your eyes right now. And just a moment of reflection on what we've talked about. You know, each one of us, one time or another, are facing challenges that are causing us to step out in faith. And I wonder if there's somebody here who you sense God is calling you to do something else. He's asking you to make a difference in this world. And there's a little bit of trepidation. What I'm going to ask you to do right now is just right where you are. If you sense God is asking you to take a step of faith and it's scary, I want you to stand right where you are. And the reason why I'm asking you to stand, there's nothing magical about it, but here's the deal. If you're not willing to stand here in a safe environment, what's going to make you stand or get out of the boat when it really counts? And so maybe you're in a storm right now, and you're a little bit fearful, and you know you need to get out of that boat. And the only thing holding you down right now is pride. So I'm just going to ask you, I'm not going to drag this out, but just stand where you are. And I want to pray for you to realize God's fullness, to realize His strength, to realize His purpose. Just bless you. Just go ahead and stand where you are. God will give you the courage. God will give you His strength. Is there anyone else before we pray? Let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, you see these men and women who are standing right now. And Father, they're taking a stand against the enemy. Lord, they're taking a stand against that comfort zone they're in. And Lord, they're saying in their heart, Lord, I need you. And I pray, Father, right now, as they have taken a stand for you, that, Lord, you would anoint them with your Holy Spirit. That, God, you would rain down your Spirit and give them the courage to go forward even in the storms of life. And, Father, for each person here, oh, God, may we keep our eyes on you. May you enable us to walk strong for the glory of Jesus. Now, Lord, bless each one of these. For your glory we ask this. You may be seated. And all God's people say, amen. Pastor Kurt.